And these 12, on the 12 stones, it shall be written, the Havanim, Tihiena, they shall be Al Shemois, on the names of the Jewish people, Shal Shtem Esrei, Al Shemois. 12. Pituchei Chosam Ish Al Shemo. Pituchei Chosam means it was etched into the, of a Chosam. We have to see what all this means. Ish Al Shemoi, Tihiena, it shall be Lishnei Osar Shavet. Let's see. Let's see the words of the English first. The stone shall correspond in number to the names of the sons of Israel. 12. Corresponding to their names, they shall be engraved like seals, each with its name for the 12 tribes. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, V'havonim, the stones, tiena they shall be. Okay, the stone shall correspond. The stones. Now notice, one says something interesting. Over here, in the previous psukim, every time we mentioned the stones, it was mentioned b'loshon yochid, Evan. Even though we're discussing 12 stones, umileisavay miluas Evan. Okay, arbat turim oven, stone b'loshon yochid. All of a sudden now they become from one stone to many stones. It's like the opposite what happened to Yaakov. Yaakov, when he came back from 12 years, for 14 years. He wants to go to sleep, and he takes many stones, 12 stones, and then 12 stones turn into one stone. Here it's just the opposite. Here it's one stone is now turning into 12 stones. We first discussed about umilesavay miluas even, one stone, and the one stone turns into four rows, and then the four rows turn into, each row turns into four. Isn't that interesting? You go from one to four to 12. And now, here we are. We have the 12 Avonim, Tiena al Shemais. They shall be. Okay, they will correspond. He's saying he's taking the word Tiena in the English and translating that they shall correspond to Al Shemais Bnei Yisrael, the names of the children of Israel, Shtem Esrei. And now we have repetition, Al Shemaisam. What does that mean? We just said that. We already just said Al Shemais, and then it says Pituchei Chosam. Okay, that I guess that's a certain unique form of inscribing, an inscription that's done in the same technique that's done by a seal, which I have no idea what this means. Ish al Shemoi, each man on his name. What does that mean? Tiena they shall be for the 12 tribes. We just said that. And we're calling them first Shavet, tribes. First we call them children. Then we call them their own name. Then we call them tribes. There are so many bizarre things happening in this pasuk. It's just very, very hard to translate. We fool ourselves. We fool ourselves and think that we know, oh, Chumash, big deal. Chumash is for kindergarten children. We're advanced. We learn the Talmud. We learn the Daf Yomi. We're advanced. The kids, they learn Chumash. Look what's going on over here. How could a person even begin to translate this pasuk? So Rashi here just only wants to comment on the end of the pasuk. Ish al shemok yiseder tol doysam, seder havanim, oidim leruven, pita l'shimon, l'chein l'kula. So Rashi says the translation ish al shemok does not mean their name. Ish al shemok, he's translating uniquely, it means according to their birth. How does the word ish al shemok, his name, mean their birth? I don't know. All I can think of is the word Shemoi is related to the word Shom. Okay, isn't that interesting? A shame is Shom. What does that mean? Think about what does that mean? When a person gets a name, oh, now you're here. Okay, Mr. Rappaport, you're a professor. You're a professor. You take attendance every day in your class. Are you here? So isn't it interesting that the way you take attendance is by calling out their names. If you respond to your name, it means you're here. The shame means you're shum, you're there. Okay, there means, I mean, you can say po, here, you can say, but it means shum. Shum means there. The word shum has a connotation of a makoim. And it's the same exact letters, shame, shum. When the name is active, it means the person is present. If I'm not mistaken, Rashi is saying something very profound. And he's saying, Ish al Shemoy does not mean their name, because it already said that. It says, Veho avanim the stones to Yemen, this shall be al Shemois b'nei Yisrael. The Eile Shemois b'nei Yisrael, right? It says the names. Shdein Esrei al Shemois Sam. Okay, that's repetition. I don't know what that's there for. Pituche Chosam, Ish al Shemoy. It's already the third time. Already the third time it says the word Shemoy. And here, it doesn't say the word Shemois. Shemois. It says Shemoy. And the word Shemoy, I'm trying to suggest, relates to the word Sham. And the repetition means Ish. The order of each individual stone, what name it will get, is dependent on when that person, the name that is, represents that person, was Sham, was present in this world. When Reuven came into existence, he was the only one that was Sham. Shimon was not here yet. Then Shimon was Sham. Then Levi was Sham. Sham has a connotation of existence in time. You are there. Kiseder toy lidoy sam, their birth. Seder havanim. That's what the word Shmo means. When they landed, and they were Sham. That's the order. Not the name. It's telling us to say there. What does the Targum say? Targum says, Va'avnaya yehevyon, the stone shall be al shemohas. Okay, he's not really helping us over here. The stone shall be al shemohas b'nei Yisrael tarteis esrei 12, al shemohas hoin. No, it doesn't help us very much. Same repetition. And here we have in bold. We have over here an expression in bold, which obviously means over here it's not, this something is very difficult. This means kisav miforash. It says pituche choisam. Okay, this is going to be not like what it says in the English. In the English it says they shall be engraved like seals. I have no idea what that means. We know there's something called a signet ring. On a signet ring, you etch into the What do you do with the signet ring? You either emboss, it's the what you want, you want to seal in wax, I'm imagining is embossed. And then when you press that seal into the wax, the hot wax, it makes an impression. You know, many years ago, you know what I did? I actually, I don't know if you know, there's a certain type of schnapps. I don't know if you noticed. It has a red, I don't know, like a wax. So I tracked this down and I found the company who makes this. And I bought it. It was a project we were working on years ago. I bought this gun, this wax gun. It wasn't so expensive. It wasn't so, this wax gun. It comes with these like, you know, inserts of wax that you put in the back of the gun, you press it, and it heats it up, and this hot wax comes out. And you can buy it in any color you want. It comes all different colors. And then we custom made a logo of a certain thing that we're doing. And you basically stamp it. I have it somewhere at home. I can show it to you. You come and you have a little handle. It's a custom made. You send them the image and they custom make the seal. And you press the wax. And you heat it up in this gun. And it comes out. And then you take the seal. And while it's burning hot, you put the seal in and you pick it up. And then it dries, and it's amazing. So the company that makes this, I think they were in Canada. And we actually called them up, and I got a hold of stuff. And the guy, and I was talking to him, it was for a religious project. And then the guy, he says to me, where are you from? There's a guy in Canada who has no connection. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, New York. We have a customer there. We have a very good customer there. They're called Art Scroll. Art Scroll, obviously Art Scroll, one of their fundraising events, or one of their things that they did, they probably sent out these very fancy invitations where they had like wax seals, and like me, they tracked them down and they bought the wax and they made their own custom seal, and they sent out to, I guess, to their donors. They made something. Oh yeah, I know Art Scroll. Okay, so here you talk about a seal. Pituchei Choysam, I should really bring it and show it to you. Pituchei Choysam, What does this mean? It means just like what you engrave on a seal. On a seal, you don't engrave anything. On a seal, that you close a letter to make sure it's not been tampered with. You pour this wax over the edge of the, I guess, on a piece of paper, whatever. You fold over a piece of paper and you put on this hot wax, and then you put the seal. And there's no way, if you take it off, it's gonna destroy the paper. So therefore, obviously, someone already read what's inside. I think it's the inverse. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Whatever image you want should come out when you press the seal on the wax, it's the opposite. You create an embossed image that is the opposite. It's the inverse, not the opposite. It's the inverse of what the final result is going to be. That's how you make a seal. If there are letters, if there are words, if you write words, it wouldn't make sense. It would be not right to left. We in Hebrew we go from right to left. It would be left to right, and each letter would be inverted. So the Kohen that was looking at it, or anyone that was looking at the Kohen, at the wouldn't make any sense, because the letters would be in the reverse. If you're going to make the stones like a signet ring, then it's the opposite. So obviously you don't want to do that. You want to go and you want to etch inside. So why does the word chosam, how does that come into play here? So he says over here something very interesting. He says over here, kesav miforesh, a ksav that's miforesh, kigloif de izka. I don't know what that means exactly. A ksav that is explicit, I gotta go look this up in 1 second. Gvar, each person, al shemei, each man, al shemei, on his name, Tevyon Litrain Asar Shiftin. Now, right away off the bat, it seems that I want to suggest is that Rashi and Unkelis have a disagreement what it means, Ish al Shemai. Because he says, Gvar al Shemai, his name. Rashi refused to translate the word al Shemai, his name. Rashi says it means, Kiseder Toldosa. Okay, so I've told you a drush. The word Shemo doesn't just mean a name, it means Shem. When he arrived, he put down his feet in this world, when he was considered present in this world. So off the bat, it would appear that Ish al Shemo, we have a disagreement. Does it mean Shemei, means a name, or does it mean according to the order of their birth? Now, Rashi doesn't say anything else, so we have to assume Rashi agrees with everything else the Targum says. But the Targum, what happened over here? Unkelis, he says over here, Kesav Miforesh Kigloif. So let's look at what it says in the Ma'at Sari. Okay, it says over here in Ma'at Sari, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph, Yehovan, it's hard to believe, he doesn't say anything. It's hard to believe over here something that's so fundamental, he does not say anything. I'm getting very disappointed. So we have to get out the other Sefer. Actually, no, another Sefer came out very recently. Also, there's the art scroll. I should have here on the art scroll also. Okay, but I don't want to cover some ground. The art school also has, the English art school. That's how this whole shit started. Perek, Shalach, Yisro, Shpatim, Shemot Tzade. Okay, it says over here, Mishpatzois, Shalach Rois, Noifech Satyaz, all the different stones. And here it says, nothing. He skips the whole thing. Will you believe it? So I don't know what this means. A ksav miforash, an explicit ksav kigloif deizka. I don't know what this means. I have no idea what this means. Okay, so we're going to have to leave it for now. Maybe we'll come back. Maybe we'll look at the other Targum. What's the other Targum? Targum Yonis of the Gazil. He says, Al-Shus, Gilif Chakik. Gelif chokik, no. Uforash hei kigloif de iska. Gvar margulise. I don't know what these things, I don't know what these words mean. I don't have no clue. Alright, so we're going to have to leave this for another time to figure out what this means. Alright, let's now take a look over here at the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Beis. V'yasisa al achoshen shar shirois gavlus ma'asei avoy sahafen. Now this goes back, we had almost the same exact pasuk above by the ephod. And we learned by the ephod that the ephod had chains. Chains that were braided, not the chains that we're familiar with. Braided chains of strands of gold that came forth of Zavtahar, that came forth from the socket in the shoulder down to the Choshen. You shall make on the Choshen Shar Shois, our chains, Gavlus. We learned last week, we learned in the beginning of the week, Gavlus means along the edge, Maasei Avois, it shall be made from a braid work, Zahav Tahar. This is almost, I think, the exact same pasuk. We go back over here to the ephod. Look at the ephod. It says by the ephod, we make the ephod, v'samto, v'yasisa mishmitzoy zahav, v'shtei shashoy zahav tohar, migbolois, ta'aseoy samaseh alvois, v'nasata esharashoy zahavoysois al ha-mishmitzois. This pasuk, pasuk yudalid, is basically the same thing as pasuk we're doing right now is pasuk chavbeis. Yudal and chavbeis are the same thing. Yasitza, you shall put on the choshen shar shois, chains gavlos along the edge maase avos that are intertwined zahav tahar. What's the difference? So let's see over here what it says over here. The Rashi. There's a lot of Rashi on this. Rashi, let's see Rashi al choshen b'shil choshen. So Rashi, then when he says al choshen, do not take it literally. It means b'shvil choshen. It's on behalf of the choshen, lekavam to insert them b'tabe oisav in their rings. The choshen had four rings. Kemosh mefarish lamata b'inyan. Okay, what are shar shois? Lashon shar she'ilan, roots. Now Rashi over here is probably coming to disagree with the Targum, what we learned before. We'll see again. But over here we see the word shar shois we learned before means chains. That was, I think, the Targum. The Targum said shal shalois chain, and Rashi also said the word chains. I think there, but it's the same exact thing. Over here, Rashi's Lashon Shor She Ilana, the roots of a tree, Hama Achazin LeIlan, which strengthen the tree, LeHe Ochez UleHis Torkab Oretz, so that it should be firmly connected to the earth. Af Elu, likewise, these two, you Me Achazin LaChoshen Shebohem, Yetoli Bo Efoid, they shall be attached to the Choshen. In them they shall be suspended by the ephod. No more to afhein. They shall be connected to the choshen. Shebohem yiyatolui. Through them, the choshen will be suspended by the ephod. Vehein, these are the shtei shar shoyes hamuos lamala b'inyan hamish b'tzais. Rashi very carefully says that these two chains that we are discussing now in reference to the Choshen are exactly the same two chains that we mentioned in reference to the ephod. The ephod had the shoulder straps. Along the edge of the shoulder straps were two shar shirois. Those two shar shirois of the ephod are the same two shar shirois of the Choshen. The af shar shirois pasa menachem ben surk loshon shoroshim. So he goes on to say that Menachem, my friend, the grammarian, he also translates the word shashos to mean roots. The Omar, shahoresh. Now there is no shahoresh yisero. Now the problem here is, if it means a root, shar shirois, shahoresh yisero, shoy, why is it extra? Kmo mem shebe mil shebe shil shoyim. Mem shebe, the mem is the word shil shoyim. There's no need for the mem, the end mem. Umem shebe reikam, an empty. Rake, the word rake is empty. There's no need to say reikam. When it says the word b'shil shoyim, what does that word mean? It means three. Shalosh. Why does the word shalosh turn into shil shoyim? That's the way you write. It's just an expression. rake. The word rake is extra. So here when it says over the word shar shirois, what's the word, what's going to be extra? Let's see. The eni roya es devar, I disagree. Ela shar sheres b'loshon ivrisk kishal shelesh b'loshon mishneh. He disagrees. It means a chain. So let's review what Rashi over here is saying. Rashi over here is getting us confused. Rashi, before learned the word shar shirois, means chains. And here in this Rashi, Rashi is telling us that it means roots. But then he reveals that it's not really, it's Menachem that says it means a root, and I hold it means a chain. So one more time, it says the word shar shirois. Yasis alachoshen shar shirois. Shar shirois gavlus maasei avos. Okay, shar shirois. Let's go back to the previous pasuk. In pasuk Yidalid, there it said, Ushtei shar shirois. Okay, shar. Oh, now I understand what's going on over here. See, here's the difference. Here's I got confused. Here it says shar shirois. In this pasuk 14, there is an extra resh. In this pasuk, it says shar shirois. So the question is the word shar shirois the same as shar shirois? Yosis alachoshen shar shirois. There it said shar shirois. There was a resh, a very big difference between pasuk yudal and pasuk yudbet and chav beis. Are they the same exact thing? So here it says shar shirois. Loshon shar sheilana. Rashi on his own is saying it means a root. Ha'ma'achazim le'ilon, that keeps the tree firmly attached to the ground. Le'he'ochez u'le'hitoka bo'aretz. Af elu yu me'achazim la'choshen shebohem. These items shall be firmly attached to the choshen. Shebohem ye'tolui bo'efoid. It is through them that yeah, the ephod will be suspended by the choshen, will be suspended through this, through these things, to the ephod. The ephod is what is going to support the choshen. The hein shtei shar shirois hamuros lamala binyan hamish betzois. These roots, these anchors, are the same word that we had before. Now the af. Shar shirois pasar Menachem ben Suk Loshon Sharoshim. And now here's what he's saying. The word the shar shirois of Pasuk Yudalit is also called anchors. Oh, but why? If called an anchor, the word is a shoyresh. Shoyresh does not have an extra resh. What's the resh doing there? It's not a kasha. A lot of times you have words and the words are embellished to make them sound good, to enhance their appearance, whatever it is. And the Amar Shaharesh Yisera Kumo Mem, just like you have the word Shilshoim, the very last mem of the word Shilshoim, which means three, Tamol Shilshoim, the day before yesterday. It's today, there is Esmol, and then there is Shilshoim. Today is day number one, the day before is day number two, and going back the day before yesterday is day number three. Counting today as day number one and going backwards, you're going back 3 days. One, two, three. Shilshoim. Why is there a mem? If you want to connote the idea of three, it should say shalosh. What's the mem? Big deal. We like to embellish Hebrew words. Just like the word shalosh, we add a mem, so too we have the word shoresh, a root. We embellish it with another resh. So it becomes from a shoresh to shar shirois. Add another resh, and a sof for that matter. That is what Menachem ben Mekim, the Gav Sharshosh, Shapaz Menachem ben Tzuk, Loshon Shoroshim. The Omar Shahresh, Yisera, the Resh is extra. The Resh is extra. Kamoy Mem Shemishal Shemo Mem She Bereikam, because the real word is empty. Reik. Why is there a Mem? Rashi disagrees. The Eini Roye Es Devadov Ela Shar Sheres, Loshon Ivris Kishal Sheles, a Shar Sheres, with a Resh, is equivalent to a Lamed. In Hebrew, there are many letters in Hebrew which are nischalef in Aramaic. The most famous being the beis and the pei. Barzel, iron, turns into parzela, pei. A beis and a pei are interchangeable. There are many letters like that. And one example is a resh. the resh turns into a lamed. So from the word sharsheres, we have the word shalshales. Okay? So now, what is he coming to say? According to Rashi, he's saying something that's amazing. That is, Pasuk Yudalid, according to Rashi, you shall make chains of Zav Tahar. And these chains shall be migbalois along the edge. The chains are not the typical chains of a dungeon. Chains that are like braids, braided chains, a different type of chain. These chains that are not really, they're really braided. They will attach to the sockets. According to Rashi, chains. Now it says in Pasuk Habez, Pasuk Chavez, Yosis Alachoshen Shar Shois, not chains, anchors, Gavlus Maasei Avois Sahav Tahar. We're dealing here, according to Rashi, with something entirely different. The Shar Shois are not the same as the Shar Shirois. The Shar Shirois are connected to the anchors that are on the Choshen. The Choshen has anchors on the Choshen. I wish I had a picture of it. Probably the picture is also gonna. I don't really have it here. I have in the shul. I have the book, not over here. But over here, he's saying is that the Shar Shirois are the chains. And the chains will be connected to anchors. We're not calling them sockets. The chains on the ephod are connected to mishpitzois. The other end of the chain goes to the choshen and connects into a shar shois, not to be confused with shar shirois. There is no resh here. It's a different word. The word shar shois comes from the word a shoyresh, a root. A root is an anchor. It keeps the tree stuck in the ground. These chains need to be connected to the choshen. How will they be connected? Through a device, or through some type of, I don't know what you want to call it, some type of thing. You know the thing. Like Biden says, you know the thing. There's some type of thing that is on the edge of the choshen, which serves as an anchor to connect the chain to the choshen. That's what it says over here. You'll put over here al choshen a shar shoyz gavlos on the edge, and this anchor is also made from braids of gold thread. That is how Rashi. Now we have not even finished yet. Gavlos. What's Gavlos? Who? Migbalois. Hamur lamala. Shetiskoim batabois. You shall insert them in the rings. Okay, they are rings. Sheyu bigvul achoshen. The whole gvul loshon kotze. Every gvul is at the end. Fine. So here we have over here. We have over here the choshen. The choshen has attached to it rings. And attached to the rings are shar shois. And attached to the shar shois are the shar shirois. And the top of the shar shirois attaches to a mishpetzos, a mishpetzos. And the mishpetzos is attached to the strap of the ephod. And the strap of the ephod is attached to the actual ephod itself. How do you like that? You got the whole shal shalos advarim? Play on the word, the shal shalos, the chain. You look at the choshen. The choshen is a square. And along the top of the sphere, there are four rings. We're focusing now on the two upper rings. We have a piece of material that is made out of five materials. There are five materials, gold, strands of gold, with wool, three different types of wool. Blue wool, wool that's dyed blue, wool that's dyed purple, wool that's dyed red, and linen. So that's five different materials, three different types of wool. Three different color type of wool, and one a strand of linen. All of them have within them gold threads. They're all woven together, and this makes what we assume to be a rectangular garment, a piece of cloth, and it's folded over to be a perfect square. And on top of this perfect square, there are two rings, gold rings, that are somehow connected to this square piece of material. And connected to these two rings are what's called in Rashi's understanding, shar shois, without the resh, which means it's a root, an anchor. And that anchor is connected somehow, and that anchor is made from, it's woven, it's woven out of gold strands. And though that is connected to the chains, how do you connect the anchor to the chain? I don't know, but somehow it's made in a way where the chain connects to the anchor. And the top of that chain is put into the mishpitzois. The mishpitzois was the anchor. It was a more elaborate anchor that was on the ephod, on the edge, on the end of the straps of the ephod. And those straps were connected, obviously, to the main garment of the ephod. I think they were stitched on, if I'm not mistaken. There wasn't one piece of cloth. Those shoulder straps were connected to the ephod itself. Maybe it was one piece, I don't remember. Okay, so this is what it says over here according to Rashi. Now, let's see what it says in the Targum. For more clarification, Targum, Uncle says in this pasuk, V'sabed al chushna, you shall make on the choshen tikin. Ah, so basically over here, he disagrees with Rashi. A home run. Today, we have discovered now another machlokes, Rashi and Uncleus. Uncleus is going with Menachem ben Soruk, one for the team. Menachem ben Soruk says there's no such thing as an anchor. There's no such thing put it like this. It says it's the same word. See, it's not so clear. We have to be very careful now. Not so clear, because Menachem ben Soruk says that both words mean roots. And Rashi says, no, one means a root and the other means a chain. Uncleus says in both places the word tikin. If I'm not mistaken, tikin means a chain. So that means there will be a three-way machloikis as to what these words mean. According to Uncleus, it would appear that when it says the word shar shois and the word shar she rois, and both of those words mean a chain. And we're discussing the same chain. The chain is going to be attached somehow to the ring on the choshen, and it's connected to the mishpitzos. Both words mean rings, but mean chains. According to Rashi, the first word, shar shois, means a chain, and a shar shois means a root, an anchor. And according to Menachem ben Soruk, just the opposite. Both words mean anchors. Okay, so both words mean anchors. Now, the question here's the question. According to Menachem ben Soruk, that says the word both shar shirois and the word shar shois both mean anchors, what actually connected the ephod to the choshen? What do they use? Doesn't say. Isn't that like a mystery now? According to Rashi, according to Uncleus, we're only discussing the chains. So the chains obviously are connecting the two together. The chain is attached to the mishpitzos, and the chain is going to be attached to the ring. But according to Rashi, Rashi says there were chains. Chains were connected to the mishpitzos on top, and the chain was connected to the anchor, to an anchor on the bottom. But according to Menachem ben Soruk, that says the word shar shois and the word shar shois both mean anchors. It means some type of socket to which something else is connected. Nowhere, at least what we learned, does it say what brought together the ephod and the choshen. Am I making any sense? Mr. Rappaport, am I making any sense?
Well, yeah, if you only say it means anchor, what connected it?
Connected. So it seems over here there's a three-way machlokes. And we're looking at a ring over here. These two over here, there's a three-way machlokes. We have two words. Shar shois, shar she rois. How do we translate both of these words? Do we take Do we say that the word shar shirois, there are two reishes, we interchange the two reishes with lamets, so it becomes shal sheles, a chain. And in the second word where it says shar shois and left out the lamed, the second reish, big deal. So you left out a reish. It's the same thing. Targum says tikin. Tikin, if I'm not mistaken, according to Aramaic, it means a chain. So both words mean chains, even though we left out the second reish in the second word. Menachem ben Soruk says, no way. The word shar shirois is not the same word as shal sheles. And certainly the word shar shois doesn't have a second reish. So what do both words mean? Roots. What's a root? A socket. What's the connecting the two together? Doesn't say. Doesn't say what's going to connect them together. Maybe you want to go use band-aids. You want to go use rubber bands. Maybe you can use, I don't know, whatever you want to use. Whatever you want to use, you can use to connect the top, the eifo to the choshen. Okay? All right, so this is what we have over here. An idea, a new idea. This is certainly new to me. And if I'm saying is nonsense, then we have to obviously, we have to have charata. The Saved al Chushna Tikin. Misach me sachmon. We had that before. Tuchum. The word sachmon means along the edge. Oivad gidilui. These chains are not chains in the classic sense. They are intertwined. They are braided. The hav dechef pure gold. Okay, this is going to be made of, now by the way, over here when it says it's pure gold, let us clarify. It says, back in Pasuk, Yudal, it was a Zav Tahar. What did it say there? Yeah. It says also Zahav Tahar. Okay, it's Zahav Tahar, it says. All right. Let's now go to the next Pasuk. Next Pasuk, we have Pasuk, now we're coming to the rings. There are four rings on the Choshen. Two Taboy Zahav, two gold rings. Venasata, where should you put them? Al Shtei Had Al Venasata Eshtehatabois Al Shnei Kitsoi Sachosh, the edges. Now which edge are we discussing? So Rashi says, where do we put the Uem? Alachoshen. Okay, here again the same thing is Litzoy Hachoshen. Okay, Litzoy Hachoshen. When it says Alachoshen, just like in Pasuk HaBeis, Rashi says Allah Choshen doesn't mean mamish on the Choshen, it means litzorech HaChoshen. So too, when it says here in Pasuk of Gimel, the Yosisa Al does not mean literally on the Choshen, it means litzorech HaChoshen. Kedei lekavon boy, the lo yitochel lema shetei techilas asiyas and olav. This cannot possibly mean that you should put the mellow rings in the Choshen itself. Shem kein, mahu shechoyzev yem v'nasat eshtei hataba ois. Because the pasuk goes on to say that you shall put them. In other words, if you go and say the asis al choshen literally, that when you design the choshen in the choshen, the rings are already there, then this part of the pasuk doesn't make any sense. V'nasata eshtei. What do you mean you shall put? You already put. You already built it. It's built in. It's built into the choshen. So obviously, when it says in the beginning of the pasuk v'nasata al, it doesn't mean literally part of the choshen. It means for the choshen. And after you do it, then you take what you did for the choshen and you put it in position. You put it v'nasata eshtei. You put them into place. He's going backwards. Likewise, when it talks about the shar shirois that we discussed, it says that the word al does not mean part of the choshen, doesn't mean part of the ever, it means on its behalf. Okay, next. Al shnei kitzois l'shtei peyos, along the two corners. Shekineged hatzavor, the two upper corners. La yimonis v'lasmaolis habom mul kitzois ha'efot, which is opposite where the shoulders come down. The shoulder straps come down on the two sides, right opposite where the shoulder straps come down. That is where you can have these two taboys. See, we wear tefillin. We have two ritzuis. What is the only equivalent of the two? And there's a lot of talk about the ritzuis and your tefillin. What is it about these two ritzuis? What's it all about, these two ritzuis? You're supposed to tie the tefillin. You're supposed to tie the tefillin on your head. So very good. You take the tefillin, make a kesher like we have it, and snip it off. Why is it that our tefillin, the ritzuos, after you make the kesher and you fasten the tefillin to your head, the ritzuos, they go down, and you don't let them drape behind your back. You have to take them and put them in front of you, on the right side, on the left side. What's going on? What's that all about? I don't know the answer, but I want to suggest that those, the ritzuos that we wear, are the shar shurais gavlus maase ois. The ritzuos that we wear, there's a lot of equivalency between the big day kahuna and the talis and the tefillin. Okay, for example, the kohen gadol was he chayv in tzitzis? Well, none of his garments had four corners. There's only one garment that had four corners. And what was that garment? The me'il. The me'il was basically a talis, a big, fancy talis katan. What's the me'il? It's a massive talis, like this chassidim wear. The chassidim, they wear the talis katan on top of their shirt. So that's exactly what...
Was it rounded all around?
There was a hole in the middle for the neck.
Yeah, but it was rounded at the bottom. It didn't have...
No, it wasn't round. No. Where do you say that? There were bells. There were 72 bells on the bottom. It was flat. It was a square. I'm not saying it's not mine. This is the Mepharshim all say this. They asked it's a very popular question. Did the Kohen Gadol put tzitzis on the me'il? The me'il was basically the equivalent of a very big talis katan, the equivalent of these chassidim. The chassidim, you all seen the chassidim, they wear a talis katan on top of their shirt. They don't wear a talis katan, but the litvaks, we wear the talis katan under the shirt. The chassidim, they wear it on top of the shirt. The chassidim wear the gartel to be mavdil between the erva and the leif. The litvaks, we wear a tie. This is the gartel to be mavdil between the head and the heart. A tie is a litvish gartel. Litvaks don't wear a gartel. You know why they don't wear a gartel? Because they wear a tie. The tie is mavdil between the head and the heart. Intellectuals, don't get carried with your emotion. You just shuckle and say Kriya Shema Bizman and say Eicha and say V'hir Shushan Avoch. The Chassidim, what's with the tie? They don't wear a tie. The lathe, the heart, it overtakes the mind. You have some schnapps and you dance. You have a good life. Don't think about anything. Let the heart overflow and come into the mind. The gartel, you mavdil, you take the tie, you take it off, and you wrap it around your waist to be mavdil between the lathe and the low portion of the body. Don't worry about gaining weight. Do whatever you want to do. Okay, it's a joke. But the Hasidim, they wear the talis katan on top of the shirt, and we wear the litvaks, wear it underneath the shirt. So I'm sure you've seen these very big talis katans that the Hasidim wear, and that's exactly what the meal was. It was just an elaborate form of a talis katan made from wool. Did they wear tzitzis? Did the Kohen Gadol put on? So some Taka say, some of the commentators say Taka, the Kohen Gadol put on tzitzis. The picture books that you see in art school, they do not show you the whole story. They don't show you the tzitzis that were put onto the corners of the me'il. Why not? Why wouldn't you put tzitzis on the me'il? It's a four-corner garment. And then there is the more philosophical approach, the more Kabbalistic approach is, what was on the bottom of the me'il? Bells. V'nishma koiloi b'vayla kodesh. The bells are the equivalent of the tzitzis. There are tzitzis that you look at, and there are tzitzis that you listen to. So we eine doime shmilariya. Which one is better? Each one is different. We, on our garments, we need to be reminded of Hashem. So what do we do on our garments? We put tzitzis, we look at the tzitzis. The Kohen Gadol, he puts on his garment a different type of tzitzis. He puts on his garment bells. And when he walks, it makes noise. And the noise reminds him, Zachaitim is called Mitzvah Hashem, Asis my son. Okay, that's a Jewish. But along those same lines, look, the tzitz, what is the tzitz? The tzitz is tefillin. It says in the Parashat Gemara. Did the Kohen Gadol also wear a tefillin? Some say yes. The Pashas, he wore tefillin also. But the Gemara learns out one from the other because there's a relationship between the tis and tefillin. Likewise, I am suggesting to you, this I didn't see anywhere, but I'm suggesting to you is that the Ritzuy Shal, oh, it's so late, it's 8:06, I'm so sorry to realize how late it is. I can't believe it's having so much fun over here. Okay, we'll stop right now. But the Ritzuy's are the equivalent of the shoulder straps of the Choyshen. The Choyshen was held up by shoulder straps, which came over the shoulder and went down and connected, kept the Choyshen in place. And these shoulder straps that came down are extremely complex. There is the Mishpatzois, there's the Sharshois, the Sharshois, Zavtar, the Tabois. It's very complicated. The Ritzuois represent that whole collection of things. It's very Kabbalistic. When we want to put on tefillin, we're also imitating that because it's partial we do, because a lot of things that we do, we connect to in different ways. All right, we're out of time. Thank you very, very much for coming and learning with me. I think for me, I think all these new things, I never knew these things. Sharshois, Sharshois, Avois, Achloikis, Rashi, Unkelis, Menachem, shoulder straps, okay, Yeshakoyach, and the rings. Have a wonderful evening. Mishram tomorrow we learn about davening. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful night. Be well. Zaygizan, Zaygizan. Good night, good night. Good night, Ablaza, Yeshakoyach.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, good night, Mr. Mizgladu. Good night. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for giving a shoot.